Welcome back to Brand Stack Sunday. This is Sanka Price here with Dennis Johnson in the chair. And we have in the studio Mr. Shane Lowe, the president of the Barbados Economic Society. We also have Dr. George Bell, political scientist. We have on the phone lines Marla Ducran and Jeremy Stephen. And Marla, I know that you have to run, so you can make your closing remarks. Go right ahead.
Thank you, Sanka. The point I was making just before the break was that most people might experience what is in effect negative interest rate at the bank, meaning that the interest they earn on their deposit does not cover the fees that are being charged on their accounts. And so perhaps it's something that we need to look at, because that's a huge disincentive to saving, and saving is critical for investment and growth, okay? So that's something I think we need to fix. But I just want to wrap up by saying that you would have noticed in the manifesto how many public sector and doing business reforms were outlined. I really think it's important for the country to focus on how important these reforms are to having a country and an economy that is healthy and prosperous and can create jobs in the private sector and can be internationally competitive. You would have remembered the new attorney general saying, we cannot continue to be an analog government in a digital world. And I think it's very important to remember that and how important, for example, e-government reforms are to make doing business better and easier and more efficient in Barbados, being able to pay for things online, being able to conduct business efficiently by not having to go stand up and wait in line at the government. I think those are reforms that are most critical, and I think that the wage bill will be reduced based on those kinds of reforms and people being transferred to the private sector as the private sector is allowed to grow and flourish.
All right, thank you. Marla, I want to thank you very much, because I know you had some other appointments and you really readjusted everything to accommodate us. And I thank you very much for your interest and for being there for us, just to comment on these things.
Thank you so much for having me again, Sanka. It's always a pleasure to support and to participate. Thank you. Have a good Sunday.
You too. Thank you very much. We have on the line Akani McDowell.
Akani. Hi, Sanka.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, Sanka. I am good. What about yourself?
I am well. The whole of Barbados is listening to you right now. And
we were
making a point earlier about public sector wages, as well as given the what is happening within the country. And one of the things that was said earlier was that maybe we should be looking at cutting wages instead of cutting people. And we were just thinking about, let's have a comment from you. Your thoughts in general.
Yes, Sanka. Firstly, your suggestion, and first, before we begin, let me say good afternoon to the team. The problem with your suggestion, Sanka, is that public servants have already sacrificed for 10 years because they have gone 10 years without a salary increase. So the difference between what happened in 1991 and what happened and what you are proposing now is that the conditions for having such a cut are totally different. It means that you will be asking public servants to sacrifice even further. Now, I had an opportunity to just listen to a small snippet of the program because I was doing some Sunday lunch and I'm the cook. But it was said that public servants are, I don't know, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but it was sort of implied as though the public service was partly responsible for the economic situation that we're in.
Let me correct you immediately there. that wasn't the play at all. Well, some people might want to suggest, one caller may want to suggest that, but no. The situation is what it is, and the public servants have suffered because of the situation. But yes, we cannot continue doing things the way we're accustomed doing them. We have to do things differently and more efficiently if we want to grow and succeed in this country. That was basically the theme that we were pushing.
Okay, because I didn't want public servants to go away believing that they were responsible for the economic position that we're in. That is solely can solely be blamed on bad governance and poor management. Sanka, I want to agree with you that productivity has to be improved in the public service. And I also want to say as well that productivity has to be improved in the private sector. Overall, productivity has to be improved. This notion that if you shift responsibility from the public sector into the private sector, that you're going to get greater efficiency is a misnomer, and there's absolutely no evidence for that point. The problem that we have, again, and this is my section B, the second problem is that we have had an increase in transfers and subsidies, and this can be reflected in the central bank report. Mm-hmm. The problem is not necessarily with salaries or wages, and Brother Shane can correct me. We have had a decline in salaries and wages of over $1 million, $100 million since 2013. So it really means, Sanka, that less people are working in the public service. And in order to address the problem with these state-owned entities, because transfers and subsidies has increased, I believe that we are going to have to take some tough decisions. And the union is in discussion with the social partnership on what those decisions will be. But I don't want to, of course, give you too much information because we are still in discussion. Now, Dr. Bell made a point, and I heard Dr. Bell as well very briefly, that we have to find more creative ways of resolving this problem that we're in. I am no economist, but I'm a bit concerned that the only solution that we keep hearing is that of austerity. I mean, I don't know if our economists are satisfied that that is the only solution, but I believe that we have economists that are brighter and that can give us a better solution than austerity.
That's the point that Dr. Bell was making.
Right.
He was basically saying that, you know, we have to start being more innovative in our thoughts and stop just thinking in terms of, you know, just punishing people, basically.
Because you know what? Who pays for it at the end of the day, Sanka? The people at the bottom. Mm-hmm. We're asking the people, the general workers, the maids, you know, the gardeners, those people have to pay. Because when we're talking about layoffs, we refer to those people who are at the operational core of the government department. Mm-hmm. We're not talking about managers who work for the most money. We're talking about people who work for, $3,000, $2,000 a month. So those people have to bear the impact of any economic reform that we are going through, even though they have not been responsible for the crisis. Yeah. So therefore, we have to look at different ways of doing business in order to protect those vulnerable sectors in society, those people who are at the bottom.
All right, let's bring it in here, Akani. Mm-hmm. Tell me, what is your hope with the IMF is coming in. What is your hope going forward now for public servants and for Barbados?
Well, my hope, Sanka, quite frankly, is that we would have a program that for the public service that prevents as much job loss as possible. The union position is that we are totally against job loss. And our position as well is that we would do whatever is necessary to make sure that job loss is prevented. We are not saying, just to be clear, we are not saying that we do not understand the economic situation that we're in. Our role right now for the public service is to make sure that we prevent as much job loss as possible. If that means zero job loss, all the better for us.
All right. Akani McDowell, President of the National Union of Public Workers, thank you very much. And Jeremy, are you still there? No, he's not on the air. All right. Gentlemen, Dennis, we have a lot of calls, don't we? Okay. Well, you wanted to take get a reaction and then we go to the calls?
Go to the calls.
Yeah. So,
all right. Shane.
All right. I'll just say briefly to Kenny's comment. I think that we need to see the economy as not just the public sector. So when we think about fixing the economy, it's not just the public sector we're looking at. We're looking at both mm-hmm. public and private. Mm-hmm. Job losses in the public sector need not mean that the economy loses jobs. It might just mean that they're reallocated to the private sector.
Yeah.
So what you need to have is a private sector that is growing quickly enough to absorb any job losses from one side to the other. And that is where then confidence and investment comes in. But of course, you need to improve things like the ease of doing business. So Marla also mentioned before she went off that Jamaica has improved their ease of business rankings tremendously to the point where they're, I think, number one or so in the English-speaking Caribbean. And they now have an unemployment rate of about 9.6%. On average, Barbados is about 10%, and theirs has come down from about 15-16% over the last 2 years. So I think that it's important. I take Akani's position, and I think ultimately what we want is that for workers, who are the ones that have to consume and the ones that have to go to work and do all these things, we want that they're employed. But I think that we need to look at it in a wider perspective and recognize that it doesn't just have to be employment in the public sector. It can be in the private sector as well.
Mm-hmm. Jeremy, are you there with us again? Huh?
Yeah, sorry about that, man. I went excited. Right, so I actually find it very humorous that my president had to repeat himself again when he repeated something earlier. But then again, the last caller, Mr. McDowell, said he was busy burning pots. But
he just talking about. You see, he was cooking, man.
On a serious line, right? Yeah. I heard Mr. McDowell say something just now that slightly perturbed me, and again, I would like to edify as to where he was going with it. Now, he did say, and he asked for Brother Sheen. Apparently, they didn't know Sheen was a unionist. Brother Sheen to quantify or to qualify if he was going right with this projection of $100 million in wages over some time period. Fine. Maybe if it is that wages fell cumulatively by $100 million over the last years, but there was an uptick in transfers and subsidies, then effectively it means that wages in the public sector did not fall. Because transfers and subsidies, that's the line item that goes towards state-owned enterprises. And that has been the problem because it keeps on claiming. So when economists speak about the need to contain wages or within the civil service or within the public sector to be more appropriate, we mean everybody and more so state-owned enterprises. So the $52 million that the central bank prints every month goes towards, you guessed it, primarily the civil service, central government salaries and wages. But that doesn't even begin to explain. Just about a factor of that. I assume about $30 million or so a month. Although the money isn't paid out monthly per se, but it's paid out biannually, right? Not biannually. Yeah, biannually. Every 6 months, it's paid out. And funnily enough, during the estimates time, the transfers and subsidies come in high and still they need an extension or they ask for supplementary, the state-owned enterprises collectively. And a lot of that is going in, not even into capital projects within the state-owned enterprises, but funnily enough, goods and services, number two, and wages, number one, within the state-owned enterprises. So, I mean, transfers and subsidies also include everything as well, when you give up concessions and whatnot to hotels, whatever, that goes into that line item. But the majority of it is wages. So at the end of the day, what Brother Sheen, as I will now refer to you now in private, Sheen, as Brother Sheen was saying, the chief thing is to create an incentivizing environment that allows the private sector to absorb any job losses if they do come. No, it's not something you want to promote because as Brother Akani said very correctly, you don't that it's the vulnerable that will be affected. And that's why I want to applaud the PM for saying, even if, and again, I don't want to criticize, not agree, but I applaud her for recognizing that whatever is to come will disadvantage the vulnerable in our society and they need to protect it. And again, that's why 2 Mondays from now, it's going to be 2 Mondays, I think it is, or 2 Fridays from now when she does the implementation speech, it's going to be important to see how she goes about trying to protect the vulnerable, because no matter how it comes, we cannot deny the fact that there's even more debt that they haven't even brought to book yet. The $1.7 or $1.2 billion in arrears, which was just added to the $15 billion or so that we had in public debt, pushing our public debt for GDP to GDP ratio to 175% up there with the likes of Japan that could afford it. You know, that was information up to what? the end of last year. We don't even know how the first quarter of this year or the last quarter of the fiscal year looks like yet. We don't know. And the last parliament did so much signing off of contracts and so much, well, I would say, rushing of laws and whatnot that I have no idea. And supplementaries. Oh, that doesn't even include the supplementaries, the last-minute supplementaries that came just after the estimate. So at the end of the day, nobody has an idea how big these accruals are. They could very well be stretching towards $2 or $2.5 billion. I mean, worst case. So at the end of the day, something has to be done, and somebody in the start room got to pay for it. Unfortunately, I don't want it to happen. My grandmother was a maid. I don't want it to happen, but that's why we, Sanka, you, I, Shane, and others have been warning about this for years, but we kept on digging our heads deep down and playing politics with the situation. So if we keep talking about somebody ain't gonna pay, well, then everybody will end up paying. And maybe some more than others, and they will hope it's not thrown around. That's my piece, my closing piece.
All right, sir. Thank you very much. We got a whole bunch of calls. So, callers, we're coming to you, and we're coming to you right now, but we got to do it rapid fire. You're on the air. Good afternoon. Yes, go right ahead, sir.
To Price and to the panel, I want to make a little contribution on this issue of the civil service and the wage bill. Now, I really want to piggyback on Dr. Bell a little bit because, you know, Albert Einstein said you cannot solve a problem with the same kind of thinking that created the problem. And so we have this focus on the civil service as the key issue here. This is not the key issue, because the civil service, we behave as though the civil service is just a wage bill. But no country can survive or operate without a civil service. And we cannot accept the fact that we don't get a benefit from the civil service. The civil service created modern armies.
Sorry. Go right ahead, sir. Keep on talking.
What I want to say is this. The issue is not cutting the civil service or sending home people or cutting wages. That's not going to solve anything. We've done it already. 3,000 or 4,000 people went home and nothing changed. That's a fact. If we send home the whole civil service tomorrow, we're going to be in a worse position than we are today. So don't let's get caught up in that obsession. I actually think, Sanka, that the civil service is an underutilized asset in Barbados. It is the repository of some of the brightest and the best trained people that we have, right? And I think we got to stop talking about a wage bill and change the business model, not only for the civil service, but for the whole social sector in Barbados. Move to self-reliance. Let me give you an example of what I mean. The civil service can earn its way because I know that the reputation of the civil service has gone down somewhat, but one of the reasons the World Bank just identified for that, because it's not just Barbados, is a whole set of post-independent civil services that have gone down in the standard and in their quality and in their efficiency. One of the reasons identified by the World Bank is that the civil service has been decimated by the erosion of salaries and compensation overall that has demoralized civil servants, and that the environment of the civil service has actually disabled the people and made them less able to function. But my getting out of the analysis now, moving to look forward, I believe that Barbados Civil Service should become a self-funding, self-reliant organization. Let me explain. If you got people with 25 and 30 years of experience, you've got doctorates and you've got all kind of degrees and all kind of specializations, and you have the experience, you have a very, and I jump quickly to the solution. I just came across a country that has actually created a school of government out of its civil service with a consulting component. And what they do is they are now participating in a global consulting industry, earning foreign exchange and paying for themselves. There's a global international development consulting industry that is worth $140 billion. Now, Barbados Civil Service in the digital age can become, part of it can become a consulting capability that pays that. It's $1 billion Barbados, which is $500 million, which is about 3% of what the global industry is. That's not going to take forever to do. But we keep cutting and cutting and decimating the very thing that is going to drive development in Barbados. So, now, Dr. Dukaran made a point, which I think we have to take up. public sector reform is very difficult, but today the most successful and the fastest way to transform the civil service is to create a digital situation where you have not, and it's not e-government where you just automate the traditional inefficient processes, but you transform those processes into a digital business model. So this is the kind of thinking that we have to stop talking about wages, man. It's not fair to the people who are still working there. It is not going to solve our problems. We got to talk the transformation. And if we don't start thinking it, we are never going to do it. So.
All right, sir. Thank you very much for your contribution.